IRS on the Road, value-based parenting and life balance ideas from world-traveling family coaches. Here's Richard and Linda Iyer.
Hello, and welcome back to IRS on the Road. We are approaching the Christmas season. Oh my goodness. I mean, We're deep into it.
Up to our necks.
We're actually visiting with our daughter in Arizona, who's a little bit ADD. And so she is doing 1,000 things, and we're helping her with her
in a wonderful way. She's ADD. I mean, a lot of us, she's a person who gets a lot done.
She gets a lot.
Shawnee, probably a lot of you know Shawnee because you probably follow her famous blog.
She does.
The Shawnee Pothier blog. But we're happy to be down here, and that's on the road. When you're in Phoenix, you're pretty much always on the road because there's so many roads.
Right.
It is just a car kind of a community.
And at this time of year, the weather is perfect. It's not hot. It's not 110 degrees. And it's lovely. Was it hot? Richard just finished a tennis match.
Oh.
Was it hot?
It was hot over there.
It was supposed to be 77 there.
It was hot by the time 3 hours was over. I need to go a little slower. I mean, isn't that the second half of life is so interesting? Because on the one hand, you got to stay in shape and you got to stay active and you got to do all you can. But on the other hand, you've got to avoid overdoing it. You've got to kind of find that sweet spot where you're active and you're in shape and you're getting your aerobics in, but you're probably not playing 3 hour hard singles tennis matches.
But at your age, I don't admit how old you are.
Well, everyone knows, you know, we're just getting up there, but
81. Pretty good to be playing a 3 hour tennis match.
To use the tennis metaphor, we're in our fifth set. And we're talking to a lot of you people who are like in the third set. And we're talking about five set matches, tennis matches. And so if you can learn anything from our long, long, long tennis match, then why not, right?
Why not? If you can do it, do it.
So it is a kind of a wonderful time to be, you know, we're tying this podcast in with our course on how to live the second half of life. And it sure seems to fit in well because we're doing the seven facets, how to live the second half of life physically, mentally, emotionally, socially, spiritually, and then familially and financially. And we didn't really plan it too well. We just planned to do, you know, 1 month on each of those facets. And we're in the month on how to live the second half socially. And what a great time, because if there's any month when you're really feeling like the relationships in your life need to come into focus and need to be beautiful and need to be everything they can be, it's in December because of the holidays. So the end of November and December, and we're trying to get around and see a lot of our kids who aren't in Utah. And
well, why did you say we didn't plan it very well? Because it's actually a perfect time to have relationships.
Yeah, but I mean, it was kind of serendipitous that it came up and then we realized what a perfect month December is. We were just doing it in sequence. But I think the thing that's really great and that the thing we're realizing in our own lives is that when you talk about how to live socially in the first half of life, what we call first half thinking, it's about, you know, how to win friends and influence people, how to get more contacts, how to reach out, how to have a lot of Facebook friends, how to, you know, multiply and be an influencer, perhaps in various ways. But what we're realizing is it's really just about relationships. It's about the ones that really matter. It's about the ones that you care about and the ones you will care about the rest of your life. And improving, trying to not just maintain, but improve the relationships that really, really matter. And you're so good at that, honey.
Well, you know, I think I was just thinking today, we're We're working on relationships with the kids and the grandkids, and we've been doing Christmas stockings here today already. Even though it's not even mid-December yet, but she's determined to get everything done so that she can really enjoy Christmas this year. But both of us are thinking about our friends, our relationship with our friends, because Shawnee is out with her friends right now, her very best friends, having lunch. And we've been preparing gifts for them and so on. And I was just on the internet finding gifts for my friends who are going to be, I'm going to be meeting with in a couple of days. I don't know that men actually do that. You don't really think about getting gifts for your friends and tying them with beautiful bows and all that stuff.
Well, and let's kind of make that our theme today is how to maintain and build and even improve relationships with friends. And I think it's a more selective process in the second half of life. It's not like we're trying to get more friends, and it's certainly not Facebook friends. It's the relationships that really matter. But before we do, let's just take a second, honey, and think about what we talked about last week, and let's kind of revisit it a little. Relationships with family, the most important relationships, because what you just said, we've been trying to analyze our relationship with each of our own kids. And one of the things we did is we sent out a little questionnaire asking them how they felt about our relationship. And one of the questions, the sub questions there was, has our relationship kept up with our growth? In other words, let's use Shawnee for an example, since we're visiting her. Is our relationship with you reflective of what a relationship should be with a 53-year-old? Shawnee's 53, and is there too much carryover from the fact that you grew up in our house and you were our daughter, and we were trying to teach you, and we were trying to, be good parents to you? Have we stayed in that a little too much? Has the relationship kept up with where we all are in our life? And Shawnee, among others, was pretty candid. She said, I think we need to work on that. She said, sometimes when we're together, I feel like you're still trying to teach me. You're still saying, listen to me and I will guide you, instead of just being a total peer and we're learning from each other and so on. And we talked a little more about that last night. And I think what we decided, see if you agree, honey, is that we both need to do a little better, because Shawnee was saying, sometimes when you're talking, I feel like I just need to listen because you're my parent. And I should just jump in like I would with a friend. I should just do whatever I need to do. And so, but I often don't do that. And I said, well, and I need to stop and say, what do you think about that? Or is that making sense? Or what can you tell me from your standpoint and whatnot? And I just think talking about the relationship is sometimes the whole key to making it
Well,
work.
it was kind of astonishing because you sent that interview thing out thinking everyone was just going to be happy to do it, and everyone would say, "Oh yeah, our relationship is great." But then we got this little pushback, which is exactly what we wanted to know.
If you don't, I mean, it's the old Socrates thing, the unexamined life is not worth living, but it's the same thing with the relationship. The unexamined relationship can tend to go a little bit astray, right? Because you just sort of roll on. And the relationship I had with Shawnee when she was 18, or the relationship I had with her when she was 28, or the relationship I had with her when she was 38 or 48, none of those are the same, because not only is she changing, and in the early part of that scenario, becoming an adult and becoming independent and being married and having her own children and pursuing her interests and her career, and I'm changing too, and Linda's changing. And do we re-examine our family relationships often enough and say, now, and this is where we were last night, and it was really interesting. Like, Shawnee, am I relating to you still as a father? Because a father-daughter is a beautiful relationship, but Have we updated our own thinking enough that I'm talking to you as a peer? In fact, my superior in so many ways. You're 53 years old. You're now an empty nester. Your children are getting married. I'm so delighted with being a part of your life in any way I can. But have I adjusted how I think of you and talk to you? And I feel like I have, but we hadn't talked enough about it to realize, hey, we both gotta think a little differently here. And really, it's like a vertical relationship now is a totally horizontal relationship. And talking about that and working on it makes it so that it is what you want.
Yeah, and in some ways, I think the kids have gone beyond us. I mean, they're at a different place than we are, and we have to remember that they are at a different place than when they were home. And I think in most of the cases do, but
Well, and it
it
even
was.
goes further. I mean, that's sort of, it's vertical. You're their father, you're their mother, and then as they become adults, it becomes horizontal. And at some point, 10 years from now, if we're in our 90s, Shawnee will have to be teaching us a lot of things. We'll be going to her for advice,
Right.
and that should already be happening. But this is a beautiful time because this is the horizontal time. And you could argue that's the best time for a relationship, and that ought to stretch for 30 or 40 years.
Yeah, it really is interesting to think about because I feel like I progressed along with them. I feel like they know a lot more than I do in a lot of ways, but maybe I haven't expressed that to them. So I don't know. I think that we
That's what
just
we're
need to
learning.
keep in touch with each other on that.
That's what we're learning, I think, honey, is you don't take a relationship for granted ever, especially an important one. You talk about the relationship. There's nothing to lose in that. I mean, how is our relationship? How could we improve it? The close relationships, the 10 or 12 relationships that matter to you most in life, right?
Right.
We had the same experience, or not the same, not at all the same, but Josh, our son, also lives here, and we were in his classroom with him yesterday. He's a mar most of who've listened to the podcast over the years. Josh is the ultimate third grade teacher. I mean, he changes the lives of these children every year, and we just admire him so much for it. And whenever we're here, what we like to do is go to his classroom. Yesterday, we went after his class had let out, and just sat there in his classroom and talked to him. Sometimes, if you can be with someone in the place that they are the most comfortable, where
Right.
their life centers, it's a kind of a beautiful thing. It's like opens up a discussion in new ways. And that was so fun to be with him in his classroom.
Right. I mean, it's Christmas time, and he does a fabulous job of making his kids feel like it's Christmas when they walk in there. But he showed us some science projects. He showed us a printer,
3D printer.
3D
He
printer,
showed us all the
and
pets
laser
they have. There's
something in
some
front of
the
it. He's
turtle they
taking
have in
his
their
kids.
class. And I mean,
Honey, a tortoise.
tortoise, sorry, it's a tortoise, not a turtle.
He said that several times. But it really is so fun to be there with him in his environment and to see what he's doing. You can't always go to work with your kids, but this is a special case. And we're so lucky that we get to do that each year. But this one was the letting go of having to be with the kids, and we just wanted to just be with him.
So
In that moment.
let's take a brief break, and then when we come back, let's really zoom in on relationships with friends and how that kind of relationship is very different and very unique when compared with the kind of friendships that we had and that we related to
Well, and
in
even
the first
compared,
half
yeah,
of
even
life.
compared with women and men, it's just different.
Yeah.
So I will be right back. Hang on.
Welcome back to Ayers on the Road. Here's Richard and Linda Ayer.
And we're back talking about relationships today. As we get close to Christmas, we're really Zero, we zeroed in on the first half with our family, but I started out by saying how differently men and women have relationships with each other, with peers. And I do think it's really different.
Well, and we were kind of analyzing, you know, we're trying to be analytical about relationships as this month's focus, and we were realizing we really have different groups of friends. You have some great friends who are in mothers' groups and book groups, and you've known some of them for a very long time. I have t some tennis friends. I have, you know, some friends that I know from
High school.
the work that I've done over the years. We each did our high school reunion this year, of all things. So yeah, and then we and it's a very important category, I think. We have couple friends. We have, in our case, some of the friends that we're friends with a couple. Those are really beautiful relationships, and it's kind of wonderful how, you know, I can have a guy friend and you can have a girlfriend who are married to each other, and we can have that foursome friendship. And those are really beautiful. We just set up with one of our oldest couple friends the other day. We always go to breakfast with them early in the morning, and we set that up. And another one, we go sushing with them. We made sushi into a verb, because whenever we go out with them, that we all four love sushi. So we don't say we're going to get sushi. We say we're going to go sushing. Let's go sush. It's been too long since we've sushed. And you know, so it's kind of neat to think about which are the friendships that matter most to me, that I want to preserve, I want to improve, and which category are they in, and how do we maintain? How do we not let a year go by without seeing them? How do we improve and delve deeper and make that friendship richer as we get
Yeah,
older?
I think friendships become more and more important as you get older, as your kids leave home, because we didn't have a whole lot of time. I met with my book club friends once a month, and we had a fabulous discussion, but we all went through life together just in that once a month touching lives. But and of course we have the children with us all the time when until they leave our home, and sometimes after, when they need to leave, and they're still there. But it really is interesting because now those friendships that we have with other people are more like the ones that we have with our kids.
Do you
You don't
think?
realize, yeah, I think, you know, because they have great ideas. I mean, I feel like I soak in their ideas as much as I do
Oh
my
yeah,
friends' ideas.
well, I mean, we think of our grown children now as our friends. They're a special dimension of friend, but I see what you're saying. That's a peer relationship, just like a friendship would be.
But these re relationships with couples are just so interesting. And then sometimes we meet a fascinating new couple, and it's so fun to meet with them to see what their life experience has been, what they can share with us about what they've learned and what they know. It really is, relationships are so enriching.
Well, I mean, it comes down to the fact that you begin to realize in the second half that relationships are vastly more important than achievements or accomplishments. And that in itself begins to change how we think about things. And we're lucky enough to have one friends group, and it is mostly couple friends, that we call Inklings. And it goes all the way back. It goes back to when we were all graduate students in Boston and in Cambridge. 54 years ago it began. And we were all kind of into C.S. Lewis, and there's a lot of us were, and we knew about the group that C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien and several other authors had, where they would get together at a pub called the Eagle and the Child, and they would just read their manuscripts to each other. We were all kind of intrigued by that, and we were having this little study group that was meeting, and we said, let's just name it Inklings. Let's just be presumptuous. You know, if C.S. Lewis and Tolkien can do it, we can do it. And that group started 54 years ago, and we still meet every month now. And it's turned over a little. Some have come and some have gone,
Some have really gone.
but a friends group where well, really close friends that have a history that can talk about anything, talk about their worries with their own children and their parenting, and talk about their finances, and talk about things that are hard right now in life. Be careful, or you'll end up talking about health issues the whole time.
Right.
You know,
But
when are you getting your knee replaced?
that's one-on-one relationships. I
Yeah.
mean, you're going to share that with a lot of people, but obviously our parents are gone, so we need peers. We need peers to talk through things like that, or they're worrying us, or that we feel they have a special expertise in that we don't have. I think that's really a great part of
And
friendship.
you know what's so different from the first half? In the first half, I think a lot of us had mentors. We had people we idolized. We had people we wanted to follow. They were our models. We were going to be like them. As we get into the second half, we sort of need to be mentors to each other. Our best friends become our mentors, and we become theirs. And it's a level mentoring. It's not a vertical. It's a horizontal.
Right.
We learn from their ideas. They learn from ours. How are they handling this phase of life? How are we handling it? What are their issues with their kids? What are our issues with ours? And so on and so forth. And it just becomes so powerful. I mean, it's a beautiful thing to mentor each other, to have your best friends also be your peers and your mentors.
Right, and then we have friends who are in trouble. I mean, as you go along, some have kids that have strayed and gone down the road to a different place than they thought they
Or
would be.
we're in trouble.
Or we're in trouble, but we really can, and a lot of times the best friends are our kids, because we can talk about needs of other children, health needs, issues, and so on. Not in a judgmental way at all, but in a helpful way. And we're so lucky that our four of our daughters are doing a podcast together. They've done it for a couple of years now. And we're so thrilled to see that they are still, besides siblings, best friends.
And helping each other in a talk about a peer relationship, sisters talking on their podcast, usually about their own parenting and their own families and so on. By the way, if you've never listened, I think they're on kind of a hiatus right now,
Yeah,
aren't
but
they?
they're soon starting. They have
But
lots in the bank, though.
in the arena with the Iyer sisters, and that thrills us. I mean, we're their biggest fans.
We are
We always
definitely.
listen just to see what they'll say about
And
us.
so, just so you know, they're still really loving to be together, which is such a joy to us because they're a big difference in age. The oldest was 16 when the baby was born. So, the oldest kid is an empty nester. Both of the oldest ones now are, and our youngest one has four little kids at home, but they still manage to be best friends. And of course, they like each other for mentorship. They love the families as they go up, they grow up. And it's just a beautiful thing to see, to keep
But
relationships.
let's not leave out the boys too. In this case, Tal, our third son, has kind of laid the groundwork because he wrote a book called Dad Mode, and as part of that, he gets his brothers together and they have a podcast, and it's called Good Stories, right, with Tal
Yeah.
Iyer, and we love that one too. I mean, it's just like, hey. Anything that we see them doing that keeps them together. And of course, we take them on, you know, we've talked before on the show about mothers and future mothers of Iyer Realm and so on. And now they're all mothers, so we've dropped the future part. But, and
Yeah.
I do the same with the guys. And I mean, but no one has to tell any of you that family relationships are powerful and they get more important as the years go by. But maybe we do have to tell each other and remind each other that friendships, they just get deeper if we maintain them, if we don't sort of go our own way and forget our best friends. And when we say best friends, how many are we talking about, Linda? I mean, you can't have 50 best friends or 50 outside of family relationships or 100 that you maintain all the time. And I don't know if we want to put a
No,
number
but
on
you can
it.
have a 50 good friends. I mean, that they're not in touch with all the time. Obviously, sometimes once a year. And I just found on, I don't usually do Facebook, but I just saw a friend on Facebook that I used to play in a violin quartet with. And she's just still the same person. I haven't seen her for 15 years, probably, but it's so fun
Well,
to
but
see how she
you want
writes.
to, I'm with you. You don't want to lose touch with anyone who was, you want to stay in touch with as many of your past friends and acquaintances as you can. We're sending out Thanksgiving cards. Shawnee's sending out Christmas cards. There's a lot of ways to try to do it, but I'm talking about the relationships you want to keep building and keep giving to and drawing from. And I don't know if it's 10 people. I know we have one son that he has two really, really dear friends. And that's probably what he needs. He has other friends that don't quite
Oh,
measure up
friends
to
who are
that.
associates and so on, but I mean really deep friends who
Deep friends.
know
So
him since he was a
how
child.
many? I think some of us try to maintain, as the years go by, there is such thing as trying to maintain too many friendships. And it can run you ragged. I tried to do a metaphor on that the other day, right here in Gilbert, Arizona, near Phoenix, where we're staying with Shawnee. There's a particular street I love to jog on because it's so beautiful. It has trees along both sides of this median grass strip, and they're just gorgeous trees. They overlap and touch each other, and there's a lot of them. There's a tree like about every 10 or 15 feet. And then down the middle of this little grass median, there's an occasional street lamp. And they're spread out. They're like maybe 100 feet or maybe 200 feet apart. And I was thinking as I ran, and I did a quick Instagram. I know many of you try to keep up with this course by following HTL. Second half, all strung together. That's the Instagram at HTL second half. And I did a little 4 or 5 minute clip where I'm running down this thing and I'm likening the trees. They're beautiful and there's a lot of them and they're on each side and you're running through them. And I'm like, those are our acquaintances. They're the people we like that we want to stay in touch with, but they're not best friends. They're not people who we would share anything and everything with. And I liken those to these light posts that only come along every couple of hundred feet. And it made sense to me because a light post is man-made. You make it and it has lights in it, and you have to change the lights now and then and make sure that it's there. And so there's all these
A lot of
acquaintances
work.
going by, but there's also, and maybe in my case, it's eight or nine who are real light posts, and I want to be sure that those relationships keep on
Yeah, and
growing.
whether it's two or three or eight or nine or 25, they are so enriching to our lives.
I
They
might say
add so
25
much.
won't work. I might just go out on a limb and say that's probably too many for you to maintain on the level that
Well,
we're
on a
talking
level
about.
every week or so on, but you can feel close to a lot of people, even because we have the marvels of the internet. You can keep in touch with them, but do we is the question.
Well, and we're pretty unique in our religious beliefs. Some of you know about our faith, and it's the old saying, what can you take with you? And we believe that your relationships, your best relationships, especially your family, survive death, and that we'll still have those relationships in the hereafter. And so that alone makes it pretty important and worthwhile to try to maintain and continue to improve those special friendships.
That's a good thing to think about. I think it is where I'm having lunch with three really special friends this week. I'm going to see ask them if they think we're going to be able to find each other when we die. And that'll be a good topic of conversation because they are dear to me. So we hope we've given you some things to think about in your own friendship circle. They are so important. And as we go through this second half of life, they become even maybe a little more important. So
They really do. And I think Just, I know all of us are totally involved, wrapped up with Christmas right now, but we will be doing our podcast next week, and it's going to be an interesting one because it's relationships with yourself. And then the final week, relationships with God or with the divine or with the universe, depending on where your faith is. So stay with us, and we're grateful to you, and Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
And we're so grateful to our producer who makes this so easy for us, James.
Thank you, James.
You're the best. And with that, see you next time on Arizona Road. Bye-bye.